did it.
We really did it to him this time.
What do you think about your song at the end of our last episode? Did you get a chance to
hear it? I haven't finished yet. I got about 10 more minutes left.
Well, we haven't been hit with a copyright strike, so I think we're okay.
We gotta talk.
It's your day.
Adam, what'd you do today?
I worked all day.
God, give like a more fun answer. I worked.
Nothing good happened at work. Nothing funny. Jamin, how was your day since Adam's day was so boring?
Dude, I was looking up doing research on our topic, and suddenly I get a text message from my family, and they're like, get up here and look at the news now. So I run up there thinking like, oh my gosh, something insane's happening. It's like, look, there's a ton of people at the Capitol. It's like, that's what we got going on. I literally thought like a bomb blew up the city. Like they scared me.
That's still a pretty big deal.
Another protest. It's a big deal. But I mean, I'm from Minneapolis. It's just been protests nonstop. I'm kind of over protest. Good. I fully support protests. It's your voice. Stand up for what you believe in.
Yeah.
But I was expecting a little bit something different. But it is a big deal.
How was your day, Isaiah?
So I've been dog sitting all day, and it's a dog that looks just like Django. His name's Duke.
You say dog sitting like you don't already have two dogs at your house all the time.
Don't they just take care of themselves?
Well, I gotta make sure this one's comfortable. Like, he's a guest at our house, so I want to make sure he's happy.
You never treat me like that when I'm over.
He's like, hey, here's some toilet paper. Use it as a blanket.
This is a plastic bag. Whatever. Same thing.
I figured out something funny today. I sent you the picture, Adam. It was a meme. And it really... I think I sent it to you last night, actually. I'll explain it. There's a picture of A1 sauce, and it was made in... what was it, 1861 or whatever? And it was like, who decided during the Civil War that, oh, the country needs a good steak sauce?
What year was it made? 1861?
Yeah, 1861, 1862.
Dude, can you imagine that? You've just been eating like dry, gross meat for months, and then suddenly you get a little gift package of this insanely delicious sauce that you can just put on any meat. Are you kidding me? That's the greatest thing. That's probably what got them through the war.
It could have been. Definitely could have been.
I hate to be the bearer of bad news.
No, A1 got discontinued?
A1 was invented in the 1820s.
Oh, 1820s. When was the Civil War?
And the Civil War was 1860s.
Yeah, it still counts. They still used it.
Yeah, but it was invented 40 years earlier.
So that meme was a lie.
What? A meme on the internet was... false?
Hey, memes are only facts. They only speak truth. That's where I get all my news. It's from memes.
I say you really need to go outside sometime. there's a whole world out there.
A whole new world.
Don't you dare close your eyes.
Okay. So it was invented then, but I don't think it was like sold widely until like 1861 in the United Kingdom, though.
What?
When I think of A1, I think of American blood, sweat, and tears came out of that bottle of delicious juice.
Bloody nope. American made Texas in the UK. Steak.
Yes.
Oh, man. The same ones that made that tea stuff?
It was a chef for King George IV that invented it.
My life is a lie.
Can't use that British crap.
I don't think it was like even sold in the U.S. until like 1906. So.
Oh, what is this blasphemy?
Whoa. I'm just going to have to dip my steak in my other favorite sauce, ranch.
Ranch. Back to ranch. Absolutely. That's 100% American.
Tell me you're from the Midwest without telling me you're from the Midwest. Ranch.
Some ranch with those tater tots.
Ranch can go on anything.
All right.
Have you guys had cheese curds? Okay, let's move on.
That's literally nothing to do. Okay, we're going.
Yeah, we should probably start this. As much fun as it's been.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Unsolved Dimension. I'm one of your hosts today, Adam, and alongside me is Isaiah.
What's going on, everybody?
And Jamin.
What is this strange blue light in front of me? It looks like there's fires in the sky. Could it be? No. It's the aliens.
Get ready to get probed.
Yeah, we're going deep into some aliens tonight.
Yeah, so you've obviously heard us discuss them on pretty much every episode we've ever done. It's always a possibility. I mean,
you know, we always mention it, and we kind of went into some aliens like more when we talked about our first episode, the moon landing, you know. But we've never really,
like, half a year ago.
We've never really like just went full on alien shit, you know.
That's how you're going to describe it. Isaiah, you're not allowed to curse once this whole episode. We'll see how that goes. Alien shit. Quality.
And today we're not really diving into some of the other alien subjects, not really more about aliens, but it's more about the abductions that they do on planet Earth. So today we're going to talk about a story of one man who was abducted by aliens. So let me set the stage for you guys. It's a cool November night near Snowflake, Arizona, in the Apache Sitgreaves National Forest. There's a timber stand improvement crew. Anybody know what that is? Because I don't.
It's like lumberjacks. They're lumberjacks out there, and they're meant to get rid of the extra pines and like the dead little trees, saplings that are out there. It's what California should still be doing that would help prevent all their wildfires. But nope, they cut that spending, and now they are burning.
So they're, okay, that's...
Were you not expecting me to know that?
No.
No.
So there's a crew of seven men working in the forest, and they decide it's time to go home. So they take a ride in their truck back home. But while riding in the truck, they encounter a mysterious object hovering above the ground. They take a closer look, and it's a saucer-shaped object. And it is making a high-pitched buzz. One of the men steps out from the truck, against the other men's warnings, and approached the UFO, and boom! A beam of light suddenly appeared from the flying object, knocking the man unconscious. The truck and the crew members inside were freaked out and took off without the man who approached the saucer.
What a great group of friends.
Did he get a little shoshy? Did he get lost in the shosh?
He got shucked up by the shosh.
Yeah, see, that's... Do they get sucked up by the beam of light? Or is it like...
They get a little sucked.
Rope that comes down.
Well, there's theories around flying saucers and how their technology works.
They're aliens, so they should be able to do better than a piece of rope.
What did you just say, Zaya?
They're Oompa Loompas.
God, why'd I ask you to repeat? So, they're maybe. That could be a whole theory we get into.
Yeah, but these ones had some characteristics that were not Oompa Loompa-ish.
I don't like the look of this.
Whoop-a-dee-doo.
Yeah. I'm going to go through a little bit of what took place on the ground when their buddy stumbled up to this light. So while these guys, they were driving home, they thought they saw a spotlight from hunters night hunting. So just some late night deer hunting, also known as shining. And have you guys ever done this or seen this where you're just on the back of a pickup truck and you got a giant spotlight and you're shining it through the forest? Yeah?
Yeah.
Did you get anything?
I've done that. I mean, we saw a few.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't that.
Have you ever done it in an urban area? Like where you shine a spotlight in people's windows?
You have to be a cop to do that.
You don't have to.
You should.
It's frowned upon.
So they approached it and it looked like from a distance, fire in the sky with like yellow and orange lights kind of protruding from the trees. But they didn't hear anything and they didn't smell anything. So they knew it wasn't an actual fire.
Was it fireworks?
It was not making any noise, except a little bit of, and we'll get there.
They could have been silenced mortars.
Why? Why? Who has silenced mortars?
Yeah,
you talking about a flare?
Yeah. Like a Roman candle?
That makes noise, too.
Mortars.
They don't always make noise.
No, this is like a constant glow.
They have ones that don't pop. It's just like a little...
All will be explained because they approach it and they see... What looks like two pie tins stacked on top of each other. It was a two-tin saucer. Now, they described it as being 15 to 20 feet wide and 8 to 10 feet tall. Travis, he just had to get a closer look. So he approached it, and once he got closer to it, he could hear a mix of beeps and hums as if it was
beeping and humming. I liked Isaiah's better, sorry.
Aww. I was doing the song from Muse. Oh. Okay. So the six men, they, yeah, like Adam said, they freaked out and they left their buddy there. And they actually drove about a couple miles down the road and kind of set up a little campsite and talked about what they need to do. And one of them took the truck and decided to head back for Travis. Become a hero. Go save their buddy stuck there in the woods, which I would hope you guys would do the same. Actually, I'd hope you wouldn't leave me in the first place. Because, yeah, I'm definitely walking towards that blue light.
I'd go with. Why not?
I know you would. Adam, can you at least point a camera?
Yeah. Okay. Unlike that's anybody else in abduction stories.
That's all we can ask. So it was on his way back that he saw the saucer rise above the trees and take off. Just zoop out of there in impossible speeds. So then he went back to his group and reported what he saw, and they just decided, well, Travis is gone. Let's go back to town and report it. The men then continued back to town and spoke to the police about the incident about an hour and a half after it took place. A manhunt ensued, but nothing was found. The word of the incident spread fast. Within 2 days of the abduction, UFO hunters as far away as Australia came to investigate. The local news was constantly updating the story, and it was the most exciting thing that's happened to the town since they discovered biscuits and gravy.
Ooh, I love biscuits and gravy.
I could really go for some, and I was hungry when I was writing this earlier.
Sounds delicious.
I could, yeah, absolutely. When it's got like just the right amount of pepper in it, so it's got like a little kick to it, but it's still a little, you know, it's not watery. It's got a little, it's thick. She's thick.
I like sausage.
Don't tell me you
gravy.
Think pepper is spicy.
No, it's not spicy. It's got a kick. I didn't say spicy. I said kick. Paprika.
Isaiah probably thinks pepper is spicy.
Isaiah, can you not take spice?
I like pepper. One of my favorite sunflowers flavors is the cracked pepper.
Okay, that was a roundabout way to say it. But hey, when you go to Buffalo Wild Wings, what's your wing flavor?
Honey barbecue.
No, the honey barbecue.
Exactly what I said.
I like to go with the buffalo or garlic parmesan. So the police thought the six men killed Travis and came up with this crazy UFO story to cover what happened. So they just thought he was buried somewhere in the woods, and they came up with an abduction story as their cover for murder.
Murder.
God, glad we're equally stupid.
So I was thinking, you know how like when we think of flying saucers, we think of that whoa, 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 whoa. Like noise that they make, like it's super futuristic.
All the time. I hear that when I'm going to sleep.
This is just going to my mind. I was like, it would be hilarious if it sounded like a really old beat up pickup truck. We're just like, I don't know why, but I was just thinking in my head, I'm like, that'd be so fucking hilarious.
Or it's just like,
wee, wee.
It even has like a horn. It's like,
we received your transmissions. This is the acceptable sound of your vehicles.
Just sounds like a diesel, like, boat engine.
An alien just slaps it. He's like, you can get 12 miles per gallon on this bitch.
This'll hit it at 12 parsecs.
That's like the sound of every boat.
Castle run.
It's just the...
Hey, maybe that's what we're missing. We keep thinking that it's like this high-tech technology, but really it's just boating through the sky. So maybe it is more like a boat motor.
It's
like,
a sky boat. We're looking boat. At
this all wrong. It's a sky boat.
Sky boat.
You saw Treasure Planet, right? That's how they get around. Sky boats.
I don't think I have, actually.
Oh, you what? Disappointment.
Let me look it up.
That you are just ugh.
It's okay. It was kind of underrated, and it came out at the same time as a number of other big movies. But it was a good. It's a good one. It's a good.
I have seen this a long time ago, though. I don't really remember it.
So now that we've discussed what sound a UFO makes, so you might be wondering what happened after these men left and just left Travis all by himself. Well. After fading in and out of consciousness, Travis woke up in what appeared to be a hospital, and he was being looked at by three short, bald beings. So Jamin's going to tell us a little bit about what Travis saw while on board and how he described these beings.
Yeah, Travis, he described three aliens that he first saw as white and marshmallowy. They had big heads with eyelids that opened and closed from the sides. The mouths, ears, and noses were very small, but they might have just appeared small in proportion to their heads. They moved like robots and felt soft. Once he started to freak out, the aliens put their hands up, tried to calm him down. Travis ran down the hall and turned left into a room that had a single seat in it and a few triangle buttons on the wall and one lever. He pushed all the buttons, but nothing happened. He then pulled the lever. A giant holographic map surrounded him that he could interact with. He decided to stop screwing around and leave the room. Once he decided to leave the room, he ran into a human-looking being.
So Travis described these creatures in an interview on As It Happens with host Barbara Froom. And he said,
"They looked almost human. They were very white on their skin and hairless and in reddish brown coveralls."
He later said that they had
"no hair on the head, no eyebrows, and no eyelashes."
So Travis put up a fight long enough until he sees a human, or somebody who looks like a human, wearing a helmet approach. The human leads him into the other room, where he then blacks out as he sees three other humans, putting a plastic bag over his face. The man then finds himself walking along a highway with the flying saucer departing above. So Jamin, were these human-looking ones different than the aliens that you described previously?
Now this is where a big conspiracy and theory comes into play, because there's different races of aliens. And so what they believe he was abducted by in that two-tier flying saucer were grays. Those little short gray-looking aliens with the white skin and soft with big heads. So they think they kind of screwed up and weren't supposed to actually abduct anybody that day. It wasn't on the schedule. Wasn't on the agenda. So they accidentally sucked him up because he was underneath them and they had to get him out of the way. So it's either destroy him in the engines when you try to take off or suck him up into the ship. So once he was on the ship, though, he freaked out because they are aliens. And that's when he ran into the room and then ran back. But it's believed that they landed on a Nordic alien ship. And these Nordic aliens, they're a different race. They look very similar to humans, like perfect, beautiful looking humans with just a couple weird quirks to them. Kind of like what the Men in Black are described as, which we have not gotten into, which we will another day. And Travis received these guys a lot better because they look like humans. They're more gentle and kind of weird still. Still same mannerisms, but the way that they interact with humans is a lot more probey and sensual and enjoyable.
I mean, yeah, they put a plastic bag over his head.
Well, I mean, go to sleep. It was like a jelly bag where he can break through it, and it was used for medical purposes. I don't know. It's kind of like how you treat a
like a placenta
piece of body before you. No.
Yeah.
Before you cut into it.
I didn't say yeah. Do I say yeah? I don't know what I said. Yeah,
I said just threw in placenta. That's not anything.
That, no, no.
Well, you're saying like a jelly sack, so I was thinking of placenta.
So yeah, that's who his final interactions were, because the Nordic aliens are kind of from ancient Egyptian times, so they're believed to be better with humans in how to handle them.
I thought Nordics were Vikings.
Yeah.
They're Viking
Nordic Vikings.
Aliens?
Yeah, that's what they look like.
That's awesome.
But not with beards or any hair, but like that same body type.
And they're the sensual ones?
Yes.
Okay,
they're
I
the
had
ones
a question
that'll give
on
you
that.
Good time. Oh boy. Okay.
So
yeah.
why do they probe? Do they probe for sexual stuff or do they probe for shit DNA samples? What are they probing for?
Again, all of this is just hearsay. Some say it's for medical purposes, like they're implanting little tracking devices or something like that. Others say it's going in through that orifice to look at organs and just like tunnel through the body from that way.
Study the human body.
Sometimes they extract sperm by going in a different orifices.
Icky.
Yeah. So it's not just one hole they probe. They go in every direction. So, but he was asleep. He was out when that, if any of that took place. And then he woke up on the side of the road.
So this is basically the story that Travis Walton told. And he was just 21 years old when this happened. And he was gone for 5 days without a trace until he randomly appeared on that highway. And one of the craziest parts about this story is that there were witnesses to his abduction. Travis and the witnesses allegedly passed a polygraph test that was given by the National Enquirer and the Aerial Phenomena Research Organization. Only one of them failed the test. Well, he didn't even fail. It was just inconclusive. So he didn't like outright fail it. And after passing these polygraph tests, the National Enquirer awarded Travis and his coworkers a $5,000 prize for the best UFO case of the year.
Good job. I want that prize someday. That's my goal. I'll make it. I believe in myself. I just got to make some alien friends. And not only was that just inconclusive with that one guy, that guy was like, he was a drifter. He was working with them, just kind of getting part-time as a lumberjack and helping them out. And he was not a fan of cops or doing any of this stuff. From the day he was abducted to present times, they've had at least 12 polygraph tests and passed all of them. The first one taking place just 3 days after the abduction, questioning if they killed him or if they buried his body somewhere. So these guys, they have kept a clean story for years.
Yeah, and a lot of UFOologists is a term I believe they use.
Ufologists
believe that Travis was actually abducted. There are also many that claim the polygraphs were not accurate because they were administered poorly and Travis used countermeasures to beat the test. But, I mean, there's a reason polygraphs are not admissible in court. They're not very accurate and can be passed even if you are lying.
So, I don't like them. I don't like polygraph tests. I'm glad they're out of the system. I prefer to just have whoever can afford the better lawyer win. What, isn't that how our court system works?
Don't say that. But
I'm sticking with it.
I have a hard time believing that all of them knew enough to pass a polygraph. Unless they'd like planned it before and like practiced and...
Oh, I mean, they just have to have nerves of steel. Because it's like, it's just picking up on your heartbeat and everything, right? They just have to know, well, these lumberjacks, they've seen a lot. They know.
That's a lot harder to do than you think.
Oh, I absolutely believe it. I couldn't pass a polygraph. It'd be nerve-wracking.
I could.
Isn't there also like a truth serum that the CIA made? We'll get into that another time.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
There is. We'll talk about it. MKUltra style. Okay.
Well, you might be wondering, did this guy write a book? Well, let me tell you. Yeah, he did. He wrote a book about his abduction in 1978 called The Walton Experience, which was later made into a movie in 1993 called Fire in the Sky. But it wasn't exactly following the book completely because it was just kind of too boring of a story. So they adapted it into something much more exciting than the typical alien abduction story.
But this alien abduction scenes in the movie when he's up on the aircraft, best ones I've seen out of any movies. It lines up with so many other tales of how abductions take place that it seems like a very credible situation. Of course, it's been Hollywooded up a little bit more than other stuff.
A lot more.
Yeah. But still, what happens in the movie is pretty accurate, and it's pretty good.
There have been lots of other alien abduction stories throughout the years, but none seem to have the same level of credibility as Travis Walton's abduction story. One of the first that really jump-started the stories of alien abduction was the story of Betty and Barney Hill and their alien abduction that occurred in 1961.
Ooh, that's a good one. We got to cover that sometime. That's on the list as well. That's a good story.
It is. And since then, their story, it's just kind of continued to today. Like, there are a lot of stories out there. There have been polls that have been conducted, and they show that 6% of people in the United States claim to have been abducted by aliens. Oh. So obviously, there's going to be stories all over the place.
That's a lot. 6% have been abducted?
Dang.
That's what the poll concluded.
Hey, well, polls are not as accurate as they sometimes claim to be. We've we're in an election year. We've seen that. But hey, Zaya, this Betty and Barney Hill story, that's some alien genitalia work right there. If we want to get into that.
Yeah.
To this day, I think he's got some marks. No, I'm pretty sure he's dead, but he got some weird lumps down south.
Lumps.
Not the right response. Not how you should respond to that.
You don't know how much or how many people 6% of the U.S. is?
I bet I can guess. It's about 1%. It's about
all of Japan.
15 million.
19.7 million.
So close.
Yeah, it's probably about Japan.
But Japan's got a lot more than that. They got at least 30 out in population in Japan.
Japan has like 126 and a half million.
I told you, not even close to Japan.
I was close.
No, you weren't.
No, not
even.
You
said 16 million.
It's pretty close. No. I don't math's very good.
It's like 8 times bigger than what Isaiah said it was.
That's like the definition of not close.
Debatable.
It's not. Those are numbers. That is.
It's actually not debatable.
Not debatable.
It's debatable.
It's actually a fact.
It's pretty debatable.
It's literally the only fact we've been able to like 100% confirm tonight that we've reported.
Still debatable.
How does your wife put up with you?
I don't know. I wonder the same thing every day.
God bless her.
Bless her soul.
So the only problem with a lot of these other stories is there's no corroboration at all. No pictures, no videos, no witnesses. And that's just kind of what's different about Travis Walton's experience. He had 6 witnesses, so his claim is just way more valid than any of the others.
Why don't they carry like GoPros with them?
Because it was like, honestly, because
it was 1975.
They could have carried a VHS system.
I guess, yeah, out when they're logging. That's something. That's just part of the tool belt.
Just strap it on your helmet,
just in case we get abducted by aliens.
Hey, if any of our listeners out there have popular alien hunting trips that they go on annually and want to bring on some podcasters to document it and report our findings, Zaya's down.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. You convinced me. I'll come too. We'll get an RV. We'll take the dogs. We'll get binoculars, matching binoculars.
Yeah.
It'll be great.
We can bedazzle them while we're waiting.
Well, they're matching. What? How else are they going to match?
Yeah.
Adam, you're invited too. Come on. We'll say it's a camping trip.
Come on, Adam.
I'm not trying to get abducted by aliens.
We can bring guns.
Man, you'd love to get abducted. You know how much probing happens up there?
Yeah, you could use a good probing.
So, what do you guys think? Do you think he was really abducted by aliens?
No.
That's it? No explanation?
Why not?
I don't think aliens exist.
But if they did he get abducted by
them? If they did exist, they'd be the Predator.
No, the Predator has nothing. Sorry, this is your opinion. I won't.
It's the only one I believe in. And I don't think Predators really do that. They just want to hunt for the game.
Predators might exist, but we'd never know it.
They do.
Well, yeah, they're invisible.
After going through all the evidence, the most credible abduction story based off the polygraph test coming out positive to the fact that this all does seem to be true. Over 50 years of stories. No, wait. 45 years of stories. 55 years of stories that all match to this day. Like, the director of Fire in the Sky interviewed everybody individually throughout the production and numerous times and tried to trip them up by changing details. And then they'd be like, no, it wasn't like that. It was this, like, just trying to get them confused. And they would always stick clean to their story. And these aren't intelligent beings. No offense, loggers. But I've listened to their interviews, and they were relatively simple-minded individuals. And for them to have like such a clean story, it is the best evidence of an alien abduction. But I don't know.
That was a very political answer. You didn't answer the question. You just skirted around it.
Well, we kind of I think it's credible, and it's just credible.
I want to believe it, but I just I've seen all these different videos. Like, it's something that I would like to believe, but I just can't.
What were you saying, Isaiah?
Oh, I said we just lost all our lumberjack listeners.
No, I said they were simple.
I'd like to formally apologize for Jamin's comments. I don't know. I just think they heard these other stories, and apparently there was like some alien abduction special that aired like not too long before that they so I think they just watched that and they're like, hey, you guys want to go make $5,000? So they made that camp, and he was just camping out there for 5 days. Then he like wanders on the road.
Final detail we didn't mention: Travis and his brother and even his mom were really into UFOs, and they made a pact that him and his brother, if you ever find a UFO and work together, we're getting underneath that thing and we're gonna try and get abducted. So that's why he's the only one that ran out of the car and stood under it, because him and his brother had a pact that that's what they would do. And sure enough, he got abducted, and his brother and mom weren't really that surprised or shocked, because they're like, what happened? Alien? Ah, Travis. You got him.
You know what I think actually did happen that night, though? I think he took some PSP and he went out in the woods.
PlayStation Portable?
A drug.
Oh, is it?
PSP.
Is that a drug?
PCP?
PCP. PSP. PCP.
PlayStation Portable would be that easy to swallow.
So he took his PSP with him and took some PCP and he went out in the woods and got freaking high as a kite, and then his friends went out there and they graped him.
Hey, great theory, but right when he came back, he got a drug test. They took his urine and his samples and he was clean.
Ah, that shit can, you can, he oil changed himself.
Oh, ow! Never. No. Back in the 70s?
He's a lumberjack. No, he didn't.
He's a lumberjack.
That's pretty common with lumberjacks, I've heard.
It's not.
Yeah, I don't think that's a common thing.
Hey, but we're just here to give the story, the tale, and the legends. That's for our listeners to decide.
A tale as old as time.
Beauty and the Beast.
So that is the story of Travis Walton, and we'll definitely cover some more alien abductions in the future. So if you want to give us a follow on one of our social medias, we have an Instagram and a Twitter, and you can find us at The Unsolved Dimension. That is The Unsolved Dimension.
You could send us a direct message on either of those, or you can send us an email at theunsolvedmention@gmail.com, and we'd be happy for any kind of feedback, new episode ideas, or just anything that you'd like to send our way. And you could reach us there at theunsolvedmention@gmail.com.
Or if you guys want to tiptoe to Apple Podcasts and leave us a 5-star review and a comment, we will give you guys a shout out on our next episode.
So you can catch us next time on The Unsolved Dimension.
The Unsolved Dimension.
You beautiful people. Have a great week. Rest of your day or drive home. We'll catch you next time.
Peace.
Peace.